were jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, I know I tell you this every morning, but I could not wait to get down here today because it's Tinfoil Hat Tuesday with Russ. That right there makes me kind of excited. By the way, Russ, we're getting a lot of great feedback from people who didn't know who you were and didn't have any idea of this stuff. And that's what I try to tell everybody when I come in here. Listen, I just want to try to open the door and let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth, that there's so much that we don't know, and there's so much that we know that's just not the truth, that we hope the Holy Spirit does, in fact, guide people to truth. So we're excited to be here today. And, folks, this is a high holy day. You probably don't know that. This is the vernal equinox. This is the spring equinox, equinox, meaning equal night. It's the first day of spring when basically the days are the same, day and night, same length. A high holy day and witchcraft and demonology and all that stuff. And I was going to do a real surprise for you this morning, because we have a thing here in Licking County, Newark, Ohio, called the Newark Earthworks, the Circle Mounds, which we've been taught my whole life here in what they call the land of legend, that these were mounds put up by the Hopewell Indians. And as a young kid, I grew up running around those mounds and playing football and baseball inside the big circle mounds. And I mean, it's just everybody knew about the earthworks. Mm-hmm. And we knew that there was Mound Builders Country Club, which is about a mile and a half or 2 miles down the road, where there's the Octagon Mounds, another set of earthworks that are put there. And everybody said, well, these are Indian burial grounds. And we thought, wow, this is really cool, these Indians buried. But folks, they're not Indian burial grounds. And when I first bumped into Russ, all of a sudden, man, my everything began to make some sense to me. So I was going to go this morning. There's a part of the Circle Earthworks here in Newark, Ohio, where there is 360 degrees. You're going to see it here in just a second. I got a little video to show you. 360 degree perfect circle laid out with an opening where on the spring equinox, the sun comes up right in the middle of that opening in these mounds. It's unbelievable. And I was going to go live from there today, just surprise everybody. There I would be with the doctor of tinfoil hat, Russ, and I'd be standing there showing the sun coming up in this opening. But it's rainy and foggy here today, so not going to try to do it. But I want to expose. Remember, Russ last week was talking about the Nephilim, and a lot of people still don't get it, and they still don't want to believe it, and the giant pyramids and Egypt and who did these and how did they do these and how did they move these big stones. And oh, more and more and more is being exposed to us. And we got into a discussion about the fact, well, you know, there's been some history that's been hidden from us. History. And oh my goodness, I got to show this, Russ, and I'm going to turn you loose. This is about a 6-minute segment, folks. Russ, say hi to everybody so they know you're there. Anyway,
good to see everybody today.
Buckle in here. We're gonna do something fun, because Russ is an expert on this. I have a video of Glenn Beck. Remember when Glenn Beck was on Fox News? I don't know how long this was, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I don't know. I was sitting in my living room, and Glenn Beck was doing whatever Glenn Beck was talking about. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about the earthworks in Newark, Ohio. Now, I can ride my bike there. I mean, it is that close to where I live. I was transfixed as I sat and watched Glenn Beck talk about these earthworks and the way history has been hidden. History has been hidden. We've been lied to. Glenn Beck's telling us. So, Jared, this is about 6 minutes, folks, but I think it's a great opening. Russ said he hasn't seen this video. Jared, I think I said to start it at, about the 3-minute and 52 mark, I think, because we're not going to show the whole thing. This goes on for about 40 minutes. He talks about the Anakim, and he talks about the human hybrids. He talks about all this stuff. But I want you to see just this 6-minute segment that blew me away sitting in my house 8 years ago. And I thought, what the? What? This is unbelievable. Go ahead and play that real about 6 minutes.
I want to show you some things that I don't think you even knew existed. It goes against everything Manifest Destiny teaches about Native Americans. And I want you to know this part of our history because people erased it. And we'll get to that later on in the program. Erased it intentionally. That's an important part of it. America's history didn't begin with Christopher Columbus came over. There were ancient cities with advanced architectures all across North America. Did you know that? Hundreds of years before Columbus came. We always think, oh, the Indians, they didn't scar the land. No, not true. These were cities as large as any in the world at the time, London or Rome. They were metropolises. Archaeologists say they have found evidence of 200,000 actual cities of mound-like structures all across North America that were here long before Columbus. But we don't know anything about them. Why? Why? Especially when you hear what you're about to hear. I want to show you three incredible examples of these Indian mounds that were discovered. But before I show you this, I want you to ask these questions. Was Jackson right? Andrew Jackson, Manifest Destiny, the beginning of that. Was he right that the Native Americans were savages? Or was Jefferson right that there was something going on here that we don't even understand? Maybe they were descendants of Egyptians or Jews, or maybe they were from Asia. Where were these people from? But they weren't savages. I want you to take a look at this. This is going to blow your mind. See this here? First, let me show you the Great Pyramid of Giza. You've seen this? One side of the Great Pyramid of Giza, if you measure it, it is from the bottom to the apex, 606 feet. That's important. That's an ancient unit of measurement. It's referred to as the stade. Now I want to show you this. These are the Newark earthworks. They're here in Ohio. Yes, Ohio. The earthworks are made, they're structures that are made now of earth that has been built up from the ground in a perfect circle. Here it is, a perfect circle. And a perfect octagon. But they were built by the ancient Hopewell civilization. They date back from 300 BC to 400 AD. So let's look at these structures here. Bring this up. I want to show you something. If you square the inside of the octagon, here's a square and here's a square. If you square it, this is what surveyors do when they're measuring. They square the circle and then they divide that area into four equal parts or cubes. And then you find that each cube is made up of 606 feet, 606 feet, 606 feet, 606 feet, 606. It's made up of stades, exactly the same. Now, if that's not interesting enough, look at the angle of the Great Pyramid of Giza. If you take the angle of the Great Pyramid of Giza, the slope is 51.8 degrees. Let's go back to the earthworks. If you measure the line that goes straight through the center of the structure, right here, and then you go true north, it's 51.8 degrees. That angle is exactly the same angle as the pyramids of Giza. It is the same math, the same calculations as ancient Egyptians. Let me show you one more connection. In 1860, David Weyrich, he's a guy who surveyed the Newark earthworks. He was digging into a mound near those earthworks, and he found a wooden coffin made of oak. They opened up the coffin and found a skeleton of a man holding a little box. It was about 8.10 inches in size. The box had been cemented shut here. This, by the way, is sitting in Ohio. Well, he opened up the box and he found a little man inside, a little black stone. They took it to scholars and they looked at it. The man seems to be carrying something, and there's writing here. At first, they couldn't recognize. The writing is, they thought in 1860, some sort of Hebrew. Well, finally, about 20 years later, they found some rabbis living in the area, and the rabbis looked at that. And they could read it. They said it was an old, old kind of block Hebrew, and it was a rendition of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is another piece. Block Hebrew, they said they'd never seen anything like it. Mainstream archaeologists at the time called this a hoax. But then in 1900, or just about after 1900, in Israel, They found the same block-style Hebrew writing. Mainstream archaeologists still dismiss the findings. They found it in Israel, and they found it in Ohio. But there was another stone that they found that they couldn't argue. This is the Bat Creek Stone. It was found during the course of an official Smithsonian evacuation. The Smithsonian didn't understand the meaning of the writing on the stone. They thought it was Cherokee, since it came from Cherokee country. They didn't realize that it's actually Hebrew. They had published this originally upside down. They threw it in a box at the bottom of the Smithsonian, put it in the basement. Many years later, a scholar took it out of the box, looked at it, and went, oh my gosh, it's upside down. It's Phoenician, ancient Hebrew. So what's going on here? What is that about? Where is that history? I'll show you in a few minutes, and we're going to have a conversation, and I'm going to show you some more things that the Smithsonian science, government, commerce colluded to erase. By the way, I want to thank the directors of the documentary Lost Civilizations of North America for bringing these stories to my attention. I was blown away. To find more, visit the website LostCivilizationDVD.com. Here's the thing we should be asking ourselves. I don't know the story of these. Do you know that? Did you know that? Do you live in Ohio, and did you know that?
No.
Why not? Were the American Indians wronged? Yes. Yes. And that's what we focus on in America, is we were bad to the American Indians. Forget about it. It's in the past. The question should be the ones that the founders asked. Who are they? What knowledge do they have? Can you imagine the difference we would have now if we would put our differences aside and put our past in the past and concentrate on today and say, let's learn from each other. What do you have? What is that? What is that? When we come back, I'm going to be joined by...
Okay, you can stop it there. You can stop it. What is that? What is that? Now, Russ, the only thing I would disagree, I know that you would disagree with Beck on this. Had you ever seen this before, Russ?
Not that one, no.
Okay. So one thing, he said it's from the Indians. You would disagree with that, but Russ, let's serve this thing up here this morning on Tinfoil Hat Tuesday, and for the first day of spring, the vernal equinox. What's your take on this, Russ?
Well, I mean, when you look at the big picture now, it's going to go all the way back to Genesis 6. It's going to verify biblical revelation. I mean, this is huge because you're dealing with probably pre-flood. You're dealing with something that is clearly beyond the Indian. I mean, I believe he alluded at least to it's not what we thought it was. It's not just the Indians. There's no question about that. So he clearly alluded to that. So anybody studying the mounds, if they try to say, well, this was the Indians, here's what's true. All of the Indians say, this is not our stuff. We did not build this. Now, they came around it later on. They were, you know, they encamped around it and so forth. But here's what all the Indians say, including Chief Joseph Riverwind of the Tano tribe that we brought into Newark, Ohio, when we did the conferences. I've been on those mounds numerous times. We've been in the center of the mounds to do prayer. We've been we've shown the crowds that came to the conferences. We've taken them out there. This is the ancient land. Well, this is the land of the ancient Nephilim, the giants. Now, that does change all of history. That changes everything.
It gives me goosebumps for us.
Well, it should. In a lot of ways, it should, because it's verification. I mean, when you add this to the fact that there's numerous mounds all over the United States, there's the Serpent Mounds further down in Peebles, Ohio, where the mound is not circular but shaped in as a snake. And they have done excavation into those mounds, and inside are human bones. In the Circle Mound, they've never let anybody dig deep into the mounds, so they're still pretty much intact. But the Circle Mound, in the center of the Circle Mound, here's what the archaeologists acknowledge now. Human sacrifice. Hey, Newark, Ohio, human sacrifice was done in the center of the Circle Mound.
Wow.
Where today we run around, picnics are played, musicians come out. By the way, with the equinox, Wiccans and pagans and druids and others were probably out last night late. If you would have gotten there early enough in the middle of the night, you would have
My wife said, don't go unless you take a cannon. Yeah, take a machine gun with you, but don't go alone, she said.
Yeah, because they look at this as charged ground. Here's what's important for us to understand again biblically. If they have summoned the old demon gods, if there were demon gods there, if there was human sacrifice in the middle of the Circle Mound, if this is the place of the ancient Nephilim, and here's what's important about the global study now on Nephilim. More books have been written on it than ever in the history of the church in the last 10 years. So there's more research, and there's a reason why. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, you know, when it comes to the end of days. Well, take a look at Genesis 6. Jesus did not say, as it was in the days of Noah, except for those Nephilim things. He didn't say that. He emphasized that it would be very much like this. So the Nephilim played a massive part in the reasons why we had the flood in the first place. So get the picture. In the biblical revelation, the B'nai Elohim, these fallen angels, B'nai Elohim, they come down, they took the women, they took them. They created offspring. The offspring were called Nephilim. They were giants. They were in when you look, they're never in biblical history. The Geborim, they're called later on in Numbers and so forth. They're never called human. They're considered the Nephilim or the Geborim. They are the giants, and they were huge. I mean, and here's the larger study. We'll throw it out. There's different kinds of them and tribes of them, and it seems now that they were global. Everywhere you find the pyramids, everywhere you find the ziggurats, everywhere you find places like this, ancient structures, Chechen Itza, you're going to find Nephilim, and you will then find human sacrifice. Some believe there was a global grid of Nephilim on a global scale, building civilization, Nephilim architecture like in Chechen Itza. And it was all about creating a spiritual grid to claim the ground, like Nimrod that wanted to build the tower to stand in opposition to God. And so this is huge, and it brings back real history, not just part history, fabricated history. We're dealing with biblical history that, without question, some have tried to cover up. And let me tell you this. I believe the dark side does not want this history to be known because it so clearly affirms on an archaeological level, on a spiritual level, the reality of the giants.
So the idea, Russ, is the giants, whatever that means. Certainly they were tall men, but if you were to come to Ohio, which by the way we're having the conference here on May 19th and 20th, we'll be 10 minutes from these earth mounds. We can go see them. When you see them and how vast they are, of course, remember this: when you're looking at them, when you're standing on the ground, everything's flat. It's flat. You can't appreciate it. Something happened. See, they were again, just like the stadium, they were sitting high and looking low. Whoever put these things together, Russ, they had to have a bird's eye view to be able to do it. And one of the things that Beck pointed out was the exact same measurement in the architecture in the pyramid mounds appears in Newark, Ohio, not only in the Circle Mound, but the Octagon Mounds, which are connected. So this is some type of super intelligence, call it whatever you want to, that's been hidden from us, Russ, purposely.
Well, it has been purposely hidden, and I think, again, I will say the dark side has a reason to keep it cloaked because it verifies biblical revelation, and it tells us about an ancient past and the reason why the flood came, the reason why God would bring the flood to cleanse the earth, to cleanse humanity. Outside of that, there was the possibility of human extinction prior to the flood, because the Nephilim were growing, the Nephilim were developing around the world. All of the extra biblical literature on this, from the book of Enoch on out, all talk about they eventually began to become cannibalistic, eating humans. Now, here's the issue about the, you know, when you're talking about the connection. Astroarchaeology, That is, if you're standing in the structures like Circle Mound or the Octagon or the Serpent Mound down in Peebles, and then just look straight up into the skies, the ground level architecture and or symbolism in places has a corresponding connection to stars in the sky above us. Remember again where the ancient, think in terms of the angels, think in terms of the fallen angels. The Bible reveals they are in the Huronos right above our head. They're in the skies above our head. They are in the space right above us. That's where they are. And so if you think in terms of the Cosmocrator, the Archon, that's in Ephesians chapter 6. Those are the beings that then have been moving and trying to interface with humanity. The Nephilim know this. The Nephilim want to create an earth-based doorway, a gateway to the skies. And so a Circle Mound is a gateway. It's a massive gateway that they would have kept open, and human sacrifice would have been at the center of it to keep the doorways from the skies above where the principalities and powers were. And they would be giving the power and charging and giving development right there in the Circle Mound and having a kind of embedding themselves as a civilization.
Russ, what would you say to people right now who are watching and saying, "You're full of crap. That's you're full of crap, Dizdar." What would be your response to that? Well, hey, Jared, by the way, Russ, hang on. Jared, I just sent you a Google map of a picture of the earthwork. See if you can pull that up. Go ahead, Russ.
Yep. And I would say, listen, it's because of the ignorance. And I mean by that is lack of information. What we've seen over the last 10 years, that when we've done the Nephilim Mound conferences, when we bring out the architecture, we bring out the history, we bring out the facts, we bring out the Indians, what they say, then all of a sudden, everybody's, they begin to look, they begin to see the reality. So that's part of the issue. We got to, let people know there's a reason why there's a cover-up. There's a dark side reason for this. Now, here's the other side. Those engaging demons and spirits, they all know about this. They know that's a place of ritual power. They know it's a gateway. They know there's they're able to go there and to connect with the entities, the spirits, the demons, the fallen angels. They know they can go there because that's an ancient doorway. That's a power place. That would be considered to Hitler a sacred place. They would have wanted to be there. There's one object that was found, one singular object that was found in Circle Mound. And they've got replicas of it there at the Circle Mound inside the little shop they've got there. It is a picture of a shaman. He looks Mayan. He looks like his face would be Mayan. He has a bear skin with a bear head over top of his head, in which he might, in their practice, believe he becomes the bear spirit. But he has a chain around his neck, and he has an amulet, a charged object. You know what it is? A human skull from the sacrifices they did in Newark, Ohio. He has a human skull that is to give him power to animate, to augment him. And that's what that's all about. It's an embedding to stand in opposition to God. That's what all the Nephilim sites were about. Whether the pyramids, whether in China off the coast, the pyramids, Bosnian pyramids, every place you see ziggurats and Chichen Itza. Some believe 50,000 to 70,000 human sacrifices occurred prior to the collapse of the Mayan civilization. And Quetzalcoatl is not some great spiritual priest. He may have been an actual Nephilim.
Folks, Jared's got rested. Man, this is fascinating. I hope it's fascinating to you. It's fascinating to me because it's in my stinking backyard. And my whole 64 years, they lied to me about what this thing was. We've pulled up a website here. Jared's got it up on the screen. You may have to click on it. You can see the Circle Mound. Jared's got that up. That's a good look there, Jared. You see the Circle Mound and the connection to the Octagon Mound. Now, at the Octagon Mound at the top, there's currently a golf course. It's called Mound Builders Country Club. but it's full of mounds. Now, down here, the circle one is where Russ is talking about. The entire circle is made up of mounds. Inside is where the sacrifices were made, all that kind of stuff. So there's a picture of it right in the middle of the town. Do you get this? This is right downtown, well, Newark Heath, Ohio. They're connected together. They call it the Mound Builders Park. We went there. We played as a kid. Jared, click on another image here so people can see exactly what we're talking about here. That very first one, I think, was a good one. There's the mound itself. Go to that one there, Jared. There you can see from, again, it's... Yeah, I'm sorry if you can't see it. There you see the circular mound, and it's connected by the octagon. Folks, this is something, as you look at that, this could not have been done by Indians. These things are technologically, geometrically, what's the other one? The one class I hated, geometry, perfectly aligned. This... Click on the one down there. Jared, there's a picture of it. Look at that. Wow. Click on that one, Jared, where that one is. Click on that one right there. There you go. There it shows you. Oh, my goodness. So, Russ, This is supercharged to the demonic world, the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists. They understand the power of this place. Why don't we?
Well, again, because if you think in terms of biblical revelation shows us the dark side wants to keep us in the dark because they would claim this is theirs. It's their grounds. It's their area. It's their history. Not only is it the history where great satanic demonic power and gateways were opened from ground level up into the skies, like in the days of Daniel, in the city of Babylon, there were 56 temples. The reason why they need ground-based temples and the sacrifices, that's where the gateway, the doorway would be open to open up into the heavenlies above to keep that realm opened up so that powers and visitation. Look at a ziggurat. Anybody look at a ziggurat, you'll see it flat at the top. Reason why they believed the ancient ones, these beings, would come out of the skies and engage, or human sacrifice, or a virgin woman was given to these, they quoted, gods that came out of the skies. So the Indians are going to talk about the sky gods. They're going to talk about the giants. And they're going to talk about it all over the United States, that they had to fight them. They had to engage them. That's real history. That verifies biblical history. But it also deals with the ancient past and what the dark side was doing to establish a global order, a global power, and very much in the sense of Nimrod wanted to create that massive structure that would be a place of power. And there's a lot of story about Nimrod where the Hebrew says he became Geborim. Some believe that there were rituals done that were done in such a way that he became like the Nephilim, that he became powerful like them. So it deals with the past. It deals with biblical verification, but it also deals with right now. As I said, there's more studies on ancient Nephilim than there's been ever in the history of the church in the last 10, 15 years. Many believe that there's going to be a return of the Nephilim on the earth in the very end of days. Some are going to laugh at that until, again, you examine the biblical side and look at what the dark side. Forget about thinking what fallen man thinks and what partial history gives us. Think in terms of what the biblical revelation gives when it comes to the dark side's end of days agenda, which is global, the goal to assimilate the entire world, Revelation chapter 12.
Jared, can you scroll back a little bit to one of those pictures? Because, guys, I want to make a point of this. Because it took me a long time to understand it. Go back to the earthworks, Jared, if you can. Here's what I want you – Roger, I know where you live, okay? I know the setting of your house. Go to that. Yeah, go to, right there. That's good, Jared. Leave that picture up right there. That's perfect. Now, from the bottom of this circle to the top of the octagon is probably, I'm guessing now, a distance of a mile and a half. So imagine you're an Indian riding on a horse and smoking wampum or whatever you're doing. you and your buddies, your Indian tribe, are going to somehow create this structure that is geometrically perfect in its setup. Geometrically, 360 degrees, 606. We heard all those numbers. Now, I want you guys to understand something. This is so unbelievable. You probably can't see as I'm pointing at, as you're looking at this on your screen right now, the bottom part of it, the very bottom of the circle, there's a white thing down there at the bottom. That is an opening, folks. Now, listen to me. This morning, when the sun comes up, it is going to come up through that opening, okay? Now, stay with me. It's going to come up through that opening, and at the end of the day, it's going to set in the opening of the octagon that's clear up a mile and a half away. Do you understand what I'm saying? They created an opening where the sun rises, and then a mile and a half later, they created an opening where the sun sets, so you can view both the setting of the sun, and they have it perfectly aligned for March 21st. It happens, I hate to tell you this, every year. Now, hey, Roger. That'd be heap some Indian chief that could design that, wouldn't it? We can see it because we're standing above it and we're looking down, which tells us whoever constructed this thing, they had to be up in the air, didn't they, Russ? They had to be up above it.
Or to have beings that would guide them, that would be looking, because listen, the biblical picture again is what we need to look at. Above us, the prince of the power of what? The air, the Greek word eros, meaning the immediate dense atmosphere above us. Think in terms of, again, packed with entities, packed with beings that want to interface with humanity. They want to get into this side. If we don't begin to really believe what the biblical picture and revelation, because there's nowhere else to get this insight. You're not going to be able to get this anywhere else. God gives us insight of this dark side development, past, present, and as it's developing for the end of days. So it deals with their goal of connecting with humanity, altering humanity, embedding a kind of a Nephilim, fallen angel architecture so that the powers are operative and they're able then to continue to build. And humans became kind of the fodder. I mentioned it with Chechen Itza being a very similar place. The Mayan elders, you're not going to believe this probably, but this is true. When we were there on the grounds with Chief Joseph, I met a historian. Everybody in Newark that was around there during this time, a few years ago, back in 2012, the Mayan elders, the major, like, if you think in terms of shamans and priests and so forth, in full gear, all their regalia, all of what they came to the Circle Mounds in Newark, Ohio, and they did a ritual dance to summon, to redraw the powers. If you remember the story of the crystal skulls, the skull objects that are charged with power and they believe has ancient knowledge, they brought the crystal skulls to Newark, Ohio.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Sounds like to me, Russ.
Well, they brought them across the United States. And that's where we as Christians, we don't understand Old Testament, the devoted object, a spiritually demonically charged object. That's why Josiah would crush them and break them and destroy them, because they know how to summon demonic presence and power and put it onto the object. They know how to draw powers and let demonic powers be over the temple areas and the region. They are regional. Remember the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece. These are demonic territorial entities that have search for a connection to the ground, and they're going to interface with humanity, and their goal is then to subjugate humanity and to begin alteration, to begin augmenting. And this is where the other side of the story comes in now. Nephilim were hybrids. They were a combination of fallen angel and human DNA. And when you put them together in conception and the birth of the Nephilim, which stories in the in extra-biblical stories, sometimes the women would be just literally destroyed, ripped apart in the birthing of these Nephilim, because they're not only just giants, they are supernaturally different.
Wow.
You think in terms of this, their DNA, it's not just demonic possession. Their DNA is infused with fallen angel. If you think in terms of if they had DNA, they were obviously able to cause conception. And so there's a not male to female human connection. There is a fallen angel to human female hybridization. And so the result is a being that became, well, was in opposition to God. The goal was to plant them globally, obviously. And that changes everybody's look when you go back to Genesis 6, when God said he's going to bring the flood. Why? Why a global flood? It was to stop this. It was to bring destruction to this. All over the world, they built these structures. Dave, they built these structures all over the world. Mm. And the flood was to wipe them out and to bury these. That's why now in the end of days, in the last, you know, decades, there's been a search by the dark side to open the ancient doorways, to go back to the ancient Nephilim architecture and structures and temples, to go back to where the old gods are, to go back there and reopen those gateways all over the world.
I'm going to open it up for anybody that's got a question. Let me hang on, Sarge. Let me point something out to you, folks, just so that you get the magnitude of this thing. Again, right now we're looking at this picture on the screen. We're sitting high and we're looking low. I want you to get the understanding that from the bottom, when we go down at the bottom of the circle mounds, you see that white thing right above Russ's head there at the bottom, to the end of the circle mound, just the circle mound, don't go up above it. That's about a half a mile. That's about a half a mile from there to the other, okay? And then you see the other part that connects it, and then it goes to the, I forget the name. What's that mound called? The Octagon Mound. Thank you. The Octagon Mounds. Folks, inside the Octagon Mounds is an 18-hole golf course. This is not just some little thing. This is massive. And at the top of that 18-hole golf course, start down at the bottom. You see the wide opening, that's where the sun comes up. You follow straight down there. This lies dead east to west. There'll be another opening at the top where the sun sets. It's perfectly aligned by Indians smoking peace pipes. That's what we're supposed to believe, right? Sarge, what'd you have to say?
Well, I'd be curious to know, Russ, your take on why 98% of humanity's DNA is considered junk DNA, and if Adam maybe had full use of it, why do we not have access to our DNA now? What's the mechanism that shut it down?
The fall of the human race. We've got to understand that there's a physicality to the fall of the human race. When God said in the Hebrew, it says it this way, concerning taking, you know, to when God came and gave one scripture that could have preserved the human race, God said, don't do this. Well, when humanity did this, that's the law of engagement. That's the way, you know, Satan has to have a doorway. That's the biblical, you know, revelation. He has to have the doorway to get in. So in the fall of the human race, not only does the Spirit of God depart from humanity, but in our body, soul, spirit connection as a being, all of a sudden we were altered. We were changed. Something happened. This is vital in our understanding biblically of it's not just sins singular, it's a sin nature. Romans chapter 8 talks about having a sarx, a sin code. It's embedded in our DNA. It says that the sin code, the sin nature operative in lost humanity is hostile to God. It doesn't have the ability to submit to God, nor does it want to. It paints the picture of the sin code being an operative, like a disease in us. Like all of a sudden there's a disease and fallen, and mankind is no longer, you know, humankind the way we were meant to be in the beginning. The fall of the human race altered us from the inside out. Also, and here's where the idea of the DNA. So then, you know, of course, Cain, I mean, there's Adam and Eve, and there's Cain, and all of a sudden the human race begins. Romans 5 tells us, by one man's sin, death entered the world, and death came upon all because all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Death and sin are inseparably connected. Inseparably connected. In our DNA, geneticists today cannot stop what they call the death gene. So when you and I look at the new studies concerning genetics, junk DNA, is that part of the DNA that has been damaged, that has been destroyed in the fall, the actual structure to where death came in, to where our bodies begin to get older, older, actually meaning that we're going to, you know, dying, you know, we're in dying, you shall die. We have a death code. We have a death, if you want to call it a gene, but it came in the actual fall of the human race to where the entire DNA structure has been altered and broken and corrupted. Now, in being born again, when you're saved and born again by the Spirit of God, does that affect your DNA? Ephesians chapter 1, the Spirit of God has been given to us as the deposit, guaranteeing the immortality that's going to come. Hold on a second. Listen to this. So that when we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that the mortal body, you know, the twinkling of an eye in a flash, the mortal body will be
put on immortality.
Immortality. So when you're born again of the Spirit of God, down into that junk DNA, down into your whole being, is the embedding of eternal life. There's the embedding of the new immortality, so that when Christ returns, there is this you call it a quickening, the rapture, the harpezo. Instantaneously, we are completely changed.
Wow. It
means DNA's got to be involved. Now, the other side is searching DNA in a different way. You do know that a couple of the discoverers of DNA, the double helix, were on acid when they did that. They were on LSD when they did that. There's a dark side reason why they wanted scientists to look in and to begin to learn gene splicing, gene alteration, gene hybridization, mixing, you know, DNA. DNA plays a big part in Darkseid's development of altering man. It has everything to do with the incarnation. Think in terms of the incarnation. You know, God the Holy Spirit, there's a pure human, Mary. The genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. Pure humanity, never touching the Nephilim, all through that history, there's no, in all of the bloodline of Mary, there's no Nephilim. Just humans all the way back, so that when God causes the conception in the womb, when that incredible miracle of explosion and conception occurs, you now have God mixed into humanity. That's the incarnation, fully God, fully man. That involved the genetics of who Jesus is. The DNA of Jesus is God in human flesh. And the other side wants to alter it. The other side wants to redevelop this. That's a whole nother story. But I'm going to tell you, the transhumanists, the occultists, the Luciferian, the Masonic, all of those ancient dark traditions, including new transhumanists and all the new agers, by the way, they believe the junk DNA. Here's what they believe. You can find this in YouTube videos everywhere. They believe the junk DNA is the DNA waiting for the spiritual osmosis. You know, the spirits are going to come and cause an evolution to godhood, homo deity. That's what they believe. They're getting that from the dark side. The same thing in Genesis 3. There was no evolution to godhood. There was no acceleration of humanity. There was a devolution. And all of a sudden, we and our DNA was infected and corrupted. Salvation is the fix.
I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. So there's a DNA, actual DNA salvation that takes place at the born-again experience, the receiving of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Because listen, geneticists now study them. They believe DNA emits light, glows. Stop for a moment. You're human beyond DNA, but be the physical, the material side of DNA, right connected. I mean, where does our human spirit connect? I believe, connects to the DNA throughout our whole body. Our human spirit is connected and interfaced into our bodies and operative, in the biblical sense, supposed to be natural and normal and holistic. But think in terms of our death. All of a sudden, we as a physical being die, our spirit rips away and goes before God. And the physical body, no longer having that life empowerment of our human spirit. Your human spirit is the life force within. Being dead to God, DNA has the infection of the sin code, of the death code. We're lost. We're broken. Nobody can fix that. What Jesus did at the cross involves the physics of God. The Greek word is erges, the works of God. The physics of God, because he loved us, but it involved fixing what's actually corrupted and broken. And it leads to immortality. It's already embedded in you if you're born again in the Spirit of God.
This is so heavy, so thick. Anybody got anything? A question? I'm scratching my head 1,000 miles an hour here. Yes, Sarah.
What about CRISPR? Do you believe, Russ, that maybe through the capture of some of these skulls, the DNA, the bones, and what they pulled out of Baghdad might be used not just internally, but possibly with a 3D printer, as some people do believe that they may be able to print the body that will host and thus open the chakra to be indwelled?
See, you're right on the edge. Here's where the rest of the world here's where everybody else is going to shake their heads, because you've brought up something concerning what I deeply believe. Collective biblical revelation tells us the dark side's goal is to create augmented humanity, to have a new humanity. That's the transhumanists. Globally, geneticists, theoretical physicists, scientists, inventors. I went to the big meeting in New York with Ray Kurzweil and all the. I went there to observe and interact and to listen as they talked about creating a new body, an avatar, a new because this physical body's dying. They want to create something that won't die, so then they can download consciousness. They can download us into that new body. Listen to how cheap that is concerning, you know, being in Christ, and that we're going to have a new body, a glorified, immortal, indestructible. The new immortals are us in Christ. But you're right. I believe that, and this is a big study in all of itself. Who wants the bones of the Nephilim more than anybody?
Dark side.
No question. You remember in the book of Jude, who argues with Michael the archangel over the body of Moses? Why do they want the body of Moses? Why are there rituals where they charge bones of humans, skulls, thigh bones? Why do they build altars out of human bones? Or why did that mine or that shaman looking individual down there in that, Newark at the Circle Mound? Why did he have a chain with a human skull? See, New Agers, a shaman, a spiritual shaman. We want to get into him. But he has a human skull because it brings them the power. They're trying to find the power that will alter human DNA. They're trying to somehow, once again, whether Nazi backbreeding, whether the recreation of Nephilim, whether the ability on a scientific level to create a fabricated body and maybe even fabricate the DNA. So listen, if you could find Nephilim bones, could you extract the DNA? Could you clone one? Could you make one? What would it be then? Since it's not human, what would it become? What would be, again, knowing the dark side, that's what they want. And I'll tell you and I'll be doing this down in Dallas in less than 11, I think 10 days on Saturday night, when I'm going to talk about augmented humanity. The dark side looks for augmented humans, to develop augmented humans for the last days. This is a massive agenda. When I was in New York, the transhumanist scientists, global geneticists were on the stage explaining their goal to create immortality for humanity, to overcome death. So their goal, though, was, it sounded scientific, it sounded genetic, it sounded, but the next day, guess who came on stage? Shamans and a Russian cosmist, like a shaman, that explained, and they put on the screen, the massive screen, they put pictures of the sky gods. You know what they said there at the big transhumanist meeting? The sky gods, the ancient gods, are going to interface with the scientists and help the scientists recreate godmen and help develop immortality for humanity.
I will be as God, right, Russ?
That's the transhumanist. That's what the transhumanist, they, you know, we think it's, you know, they're out there claiming it's all science, but they don't understand the presence that is guiding them into this new level of science is dark side entities who are desiring to interface with humanity and create augmented, altered, altered beings for one reason. Who's going to rule the new world order? Who's going to rule when it comes down to what God calls this beast, this Therion global system? What we're talking about is so huge, it's hard to get it all in.
See, Russ, here's the issue. Rod, you look like you want to jump in here. Just a second. Here's the truth, Russ. This basically is what Revelation spells out for us. Is it not that this is – see, we want to believe the Bible – but we don't want to believe what the Bible tells us is getting ready to happen. And you go back to John at the island of Patmos, they didn't even have bicycles. They didn't even have cars. How could he possibly explain the transhumanism that he was seeing? How would you put into words something that didn't even exist in the mind of men? And so if we would understand again that things are coming upon the earth, that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, what would that look like? We go to horror movies, we don't get scared. We go see zombie movies, we don't get scared. But something is coming that is going to be so unbelievably dark, we ain't even going to hardly be able to take it.
You know, if we could take time to look at biblical history, when we look at biblical prophecy, we're looking at future history. And past biblical history is going to have a very similarity to future human history, except for the fact that Jesus said near future history is going to be so altered, so off the charts, that even everything of the past doesn't come close to telling us how huge, how altered, how massive this end of days globalization, hybridization, alteration of humanity, and the embedding of what? What is the new world order? The embedding of a global satanic order.
An overthrowing of traditional Western civilization, Christianity, and the establishment of a demonic new world order. By the way, David Rockefeller dies yesterday on the eve of the high holiday, right? He dies on the eve, 101 years old, the head of whatever you want to call them, the head of it, dies on the eve of the spring equinox. It's unbelievable. Hey, we got about 6 minutes left. I can see some heads shaking. Anybody? I know it's a lot to take in. I know it's a lot. Anybody got anything you want to throw at Russ? They probably don't know what to throw, Russ.
Well, here's the neat thing.
Go ahead, George.
Hey, Russ, I was just listening to Steve Quayle on Rick Wiles last night. He was talking about this exact same stuff. It's fascinating. Do you do any work with Steve Quayle?
Well, Coach Dave and I, we were in Montana with Steve Quayle. I called Steve and I kept telling him, Steve, we've got to do a conference. If you don't want to leave Montana, we'll come to Montana. Packed out. Absolutely, utterly packed out in Montana. Massive people got saved, hundreds of deliverances. But in Montana, once again, I talked about the back breeding the Nazis were into to recreate Nephilim. Whereas Steve would talk about, you know, the rejoin. I mean, yes, he's talking. He's the pioneer. He's the guy that got out there first. He's the one that was screaming about this information before anybody else got out there. So there's no question about it. Steve's connecting now with L.A. Marzulli. They're going down to Peru. They're going to look at the ancient skulls. They still want to scream out saying ancient past has everything to do with the present and the reason for the cross and the reason for the second coming of Christ. Of course, in the end of it all, we win in Jesus. We win in Christ. But Steve's been kind of the forerunner, the pioneer in all of it. And there's no question that he has a massive global insight into this picture, believing that there are actual Nephilim being recreated and hidden underground for the end of days.
Wow. Hey, folks, by the way, Russ and I, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas, March 31st. I think that's right. March 31, April 1, April 2. I'll just say this. We have, I think, Sarge, help me out here. We still have five tickets available. It's sold out. It's total sellout. But we have five tickets available for anybody who might be watching the show today. Say, man, I'd love to be able to go down there. We have still five tickets available to see that. And then, of course, listen, man, this guy in front of you, you can hear this stuff spill out of him. You couldn't make this up if you wanted to, how it comes out of Russ. He's going to be here May 19th and 20th. We're going to be 10 miles from these mounds. We're going to be there. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there. You can find that stuff at our website as well. That's only what, Sarge, $29 to come to that thing? $29 to get all this information. Folks, we're doing everything we can to expand your realm of knowledge, that you will understand knowledge is increasing. And if the Lord has given us a game plan to see how this whole thing's playing out, and for most parts, most of you listening here right now, you could give me a thumbs up, have never heard anything like you heard from Russ Tisdar today. And this is a movement. This is going on all across the world. And Russ Tisdar, this guy right here, is going to be right here in Newark, Ohio in a couple months. Russ, we got about 3 minutes. I don't know, anybody else have a question, or can you bring us home here, Russ?
Well, in all of the discussion, we come back to the center, you know, Christ. Why did God come in human flesh? Why? Look at again, the incarnation. Here now is the Son of God. He's called the Son of God, the Son of Man. Perfect man, God in human flesh. This involves the actual physics. When Jesus dies on the cross, no sin in him, no rights of Satan, rises from the dead, blasting apart the finality of death. God's come to destroy death. He's come to destroy sin. He's come to destroy Satan's rights. Salvation is deliverance out of the sin and the sin code, death and the death code, hell. Amen. And Satan's rights. That's what salvation is.
Amen, brother. So simple, huh? So you've been saved. You've been saved from what? You've been saved from this body of death. Didn't Paul talk about that? It is a body of death. And remember, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was happening at the days of Noah? They were building mound builders. They were building these things that are out there everywhere for us to do, trying to impact the bloodline. But remember, the perfect bloodline of Jesus. The devil was doing everything he could to destroy it. Remember, he killed all the babies under the age of 3 years old. You remember they did all that? They were trying. The devil knew this perfect seed was coming through. And remember, it's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It's a battle over those two seeds. And the devil has been doing from the beginning of time everything he can do to poison the righteous seed. He wasn't able to do it, Russ. He wasn't able to do it, but he's still tinkering with it for what's coming here at the end.
That's right. Absolutely. Our victory is in Christ. Christ came and triumphed over all. And that's the explosive knowledge in the context of this, that God has done something that broken the power and brought something, immortality. I mean, the new race of immortals, it's you and I in Christ.
Amen. You want to say something, George?
Yes. Hey, Russ, yes. Just one quick question. Do you think we'll actually see this, like this Nephilim physically here in the near future?
I believe that there's been, I believe we will. I believe the book of Revelation spells out, I believe that there's prophecy that's very specific that many have not understood what it meant, but I do believe the dark side has a quest to recreate augmented, hybrid, you know, beings that are going to be involved in the, prior to the collapse and chaos and the new order, they've got to be around in development. Listen, we've searched the dark side underground. You know about our work underground and engaging all the way to Himmler's castle and all the rest of it. We've uncovered, I think, some really incredible things that God has opened the door to let us see, but it doesn't scratch the surface of what's really beneath the surface. It's really there. They're really, I believe that has everything to do with the very end of the days. And I believe we're going to see, if not full-blown Nephilim, precursors to it will be seen.
Tinfoil Hat Tuesdays with Russ Dizdar. Man, this is fascinating stuff. Now, hey, listen, you can either let it scare you or you can let it motivate you, right? Greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. Russ has given us a scouting report of our opponent so we understand how this game is going to wind down and what we have to be expecting. Google it. There's all kinds of stuff out there, all kinds of stuff. Get your head out of your church box and look at what's going on around us. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. God bless you. Thanks for being with us, Russ. See you all tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it.